it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I could do Stephen A's job, guys. It's not that hard.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party. All are invited.
Host of Fox Sports 1's First Things First.
I'm on my 15th view of Ben Johnson's post-game speech. Do you want to hear it again?
Who wants one? Ready? Come on. Good, better, best.
Former host of 670 The Score before he abandoned us.
That's a Caleb Williams custom, baby.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
You guys made it seem like as Chicago Bears fans, we had our guy, Danny Parkins, all these guys.
Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
We go out to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Danny Parkins, you know him as our former afternoon host before he abandoned Robbie. We know Danny will join us. He's on the newly expanded First Things First from 4 to 5 on Fox Sports 1 and joins us now. Hey, Danny.
Hi. Good to, I mean, man, what a cast of characters. Marshall is back. Grody is gone. Layla is the bedrock. Layla is the consistent thing that we can rely on. And
wow.
So I'm happy to be here. Sorry, Marshall. I missed you last time. And I was like, oh, don't worry. Nothing's going on. It's just Cubs playoffs and Bears games and all that. It's okay. No big deal.
Well, and if you depends on who you ask, because people always say I'm never on the show, and Grody's usually at Hallis Hall on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So I just confess to not being the bedrock at all. So
okay, well
I'm
will be here. I will be here most Wednesdays.
Oh, see, yeah, that's funny how that works. It's a one way street. Okay, I'm here most days. By the way, I rarely.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. I'm just kidding, Marshall.
No, I know.
I'm not here right now. It's a figment of your imagination.
You know who is here, Danny? And I guess arrival is a thing we can talk about. Do you feel like Caleb Williams has arrived after that Monday night showdown with Jaden Daniels and the Bears winning a game on the road?
No, I don't. No. Like, I thought it's an interesting way you put that. Like, last week, I thought was like a coming out party arrival moment for Drake May, obviously in Caleb's draft class, had arguably the best game of his career, certainly given the national TV standalone game, big underdog against the Bills, won a division game, put them into first place. Like, to me, that was like Drake May's kind of coming out party. Caleb, I thought, was okay against the Commanders. I thought he had some nice moments. I thought it was nice that he drove the team down at the end of the game. I know Troy Aikman, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. Like, Troy Aikman took a lot of crap on social media for some of his tone on Caleb, but I thought some of the stuff that he was pointing out about how, like, he was misidentifying and not on the same page with his receivers on, like, man versus zone and if the receiver was going to sit or if he was going to keep running. Like, I thought that Aikman was kind of on it with that, especially early in the game. So, you know, I didn't think Caleb was at his best, but obviously if the touchdown to Odunze isn't taken off the board, if Zacchaeus catches that crosser over the middle on second down when they were backed up against their own three late in the game, I mean, he could have taken that 97 yards for a touchdown. Then it would have been like, oh, Caleb had three total touchdowns with 330 passing yards. Like, then it probably would have been viewed as his coming out party. But with some of the sloppiness, with the touchdown taken off the board, with the drop, I thought it was a fine game for him and a much better game and a much bigger game for Ben Johnson, frankly, than Caleb Williams.
Well, and that's the thing is I know you were looking at this game as the one you were looking forward to the most to try to see what you wanted to see in the team. So when you balance that part of it, too, is that a good thing that at least the coach came through in a way you wanted it to be?
Yeah, listen, that was to me the story of the game. Like, it was like, would they look better out of the bye? And obviously, Caleb, I thought, was still inconsistent. The penalties were still infuriating. They got the plays in too late, I thought, sometimes. But, like, coming into the game. And Aikman even said it in the lead of the broadcast. He's like, you know, the Commanders rush defense and the Bears rush offense. That's a matchup for Washington. If the Bears are going to move the ball in this one, it's going to be through the air. And then DeAndre Swift had arguably his best game as a Bear. And coming into the game also, Washington was first in the NFL in yards per carry, and the Bears were last in the NFL in yards per carry against. And they did a really good job. Like, they held Washington to their worst rushing game of the season. And their run defense, I thought, was the best the Bears had played. It was the best the Bears had played in terms of yards per carry allowed. So, like, rush offense got better, rush defense got better, and then they won their second one-score game of the year, which, you know, when we came off the Matt Eberflus era, the Bears were 6-20 in one-score games over the 3 years that Eberflus was there. And they're 2-1 so far this year. So, like, figuring out a way to win a game that for my entire life watching the Bears, it feels like they always lose that game. I thought there were way more positives than negatives, even if, wow, Jaden Daniels got outplayed by Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams had his, like, welcome to the NFL star turn moment. Like, even if that didn't happen narratively, I still thought it was, like, an overwhelmingly positive outcome for the Bears, like, the whole operation.
I guess I want to know then, Danny, because I just want to have it on the record. What would a Caleb Williams coming out party in the way you're describing what Drake May did look like? How will we know that from your vantage point?
Like, did they win the game because of Caleb? Was he dominant? Was he by far the best quarterback on the field? Did he look like a superstar? Was he consistently great first quarter to fourth quarter? Like, I thought he was definitely was better against Dallas than he was in this game. I thought he was arguably better against the Raiders. Like, I didn't think that that was just a game that I would throw the log on the fire of, like, I've seen Caleb Williams have that game. It was what is 17 plus 5. So that was his 22nd start as a Bear. Like, I feel like I've seen him play that exact game 6 times out of the 22 starts. Like, he was good, he had his moments, but I didn't think he was spectacular in any way. Did you think it was his coming out moment?
Oh, no. I'm under the belief that this is going to be a steady, slow burn, not some toward passionate love affair. It's going to be a nice, solid relationship with Caleb Williams and this team and this coach and this fan base. And at the end of the season, everyone will be in love.
So, that's interesting. I mean, because, like, yeah, if you zoom out, the numbers are pretty good. Right, it's like 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions,
exactly.
Passer rating just under 100, completion percentage is still lower than you would like in the low 60s, winning record, 3 wins in a row, pacing for 4,000 yards, right? Like, it's so, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think it's generally speaking trending in the right direction, and can he start stacking games and being consistent? But to be very clear, like, Jaden Daniels has been in an NFC title game, and Drake May is doing more with less right now. Like, I think most of us would take the Bears supporting cast over the Patriots supporting cast offensively, and Drake May has looked even better than Caleb has so far this year. So, you know, I think Caleb still has a ways to go, but is very clearly trending in the right direction.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny, there's also been a lot of discussion, I think, as you can imagine, especially from Bears fans, about two things that are outside of the win. One is the refereeing from Monday night. And then two was the conversation behind Troy Aikman's commentary talking about some of the throws that Caleb Williams either he thought might have been late to or he might have missed or some of the other opportunities. I want you to listen to what Ben Johnson had to say. This is from yesterday. Patrick Finley asked him about Aikman's commentary during the Monday Night Football broadcast.
I saw you said somewhere today that you caught a little bit of the TV copy of the second half. Did the tone of coming from the color analyst there surprise you?
Maybe I just had it on mute.
It sounded like you heard some of what they said.
Yeah. Listen, you want respect in this league, you got to go earn it. And so that's where we're at right now. We need to go earn that respect from not only the rest of the teams in the NFL, but everybody. So that's where we are.
For the record, he did make comments about it earlier, just not in that press conference. That was the follow-up, and I think Ben probably realized he needed to let off the gas pedal a little bit, but just saying he noted that Aikman was critical of Caleb Williams. What do you think?
I thought Aikman was critical of Caleb Williams, and I think that Ben Johnson is probably – it's not in his best interest to comment on all the Twitter stories, right? Because, like, that is a – and I saw that Caleb reposted something that was, like, seemingly making a reference to it. That's all well and good, and it's fine to be online. We all are, as long as you got the win. And listen, I do think that Caleb is hyper-scrutinized because he's been the number one prospect since he was in seventh grade, because he was a Heisman Trophy winner, because he was the number one pick, because Jaden Daniels outplayed him last year, like I mentioned, Drake May. Hell, Bo Nix outplayed him last year, because Caleb Williams is different, because he is, you know, a unique free spirit in some ways. Like, but I think a lot of things on this, but a very true and fair observation is, if Caleb Williams would have thrown the interception that Jaden Daniels did and then smiled on the sidelines, and then he would have fumbled the ball late like Jaden Daniels did, shows like mine would have led with Caleb Williams. And yep, we did not lead with Jaden Daniels in those items. Now, Jaden Daniels, the obvious response to that is, he was in the NFC Championship game last year. He won 9 one-score games last year. He won 12 games last year before the playoffs, right? Like, there's obvious reasons why they're talked about differently. But Caleb probably feels correctly that every move he makes is under a microscope, and he can, like, complete a pass on third down, and Troy Aikman could say, well, yeah, he completed a pass on third down, but it should have been for more, for yards after the catch. Like, damn, that's a pretty harsh grade for a guy making his 22nd start. And it is. And I have no idea why Aikman came in with that agenda. I tend to like the Aikman and Buck broadcast because Aikman doesn't pull punches, because he is opinionated. And so, like, the Bears were on the receiving end of some negative commentary from an analyst who is still willing to give negative commentary. And frankly, I love it, because not every color analyst is. And so, like, does it matter? No. But it's a good thing for fans to be pissed about in the moment and for us to talk about on talk radio. But, like, as long as Caleb has his fun with it the night after the game and then now is not thinking about it at all and is totally locked in on the Saints, like, I don't really care. And Ben Johnson, I thought, was smart to Finley's question, to not — you don't want to make that a 3-day story. Like, you don't want Caleb to — Caleb will be asked about it today if he hasn't been already. But, like, you want that story to go away as quickly as possible.
I will say this, though. I thought that Aikman was looking at Caleb under the microscope of good to great. Like, there was a throw here he could have made if this had been a little bit more timed. I didn't necessarily see it as super negative, but you're right about the smiling after the interception and the fumble. I completely agree. I just think he thought, oh, there was also this option, and he said as much. That's how I interpret it.
And I don't think there was an agenda either, Danny. I think he was just saying, hey, Jaden Daniels is out here as an NFC Championship game participant while Caleb Williams has not had any measure of success in this league. And I understand he was saddled with Matt Eberflus and his coaching staff. But at the end of the day, fans can be upset all they want. The bottom line is, Jaden Daniels has done more in his time as an NFL quarterback, and that's okay. He's got time to prove them wrong.
Yeah, well, we've seen this so many times. Right? We see it with, like, what quarterbacks get star calls, you know? And Collinsworth says it all the time. He's like, we're going to talk about this later in the broadcast. And, like, he says that all the time. And I'm like, well, I don't know, talk about it later in the broadcast if it's relevant based on the game in front of you, not because you thought about you were going to do it from your production meetings, right? So I do think these guys come in with their opinion from who they've talked to and the film that they watch and all of that. But I don't believe that, like, Troy Aikman has an agenda against Caleb Williams. I think that he is a color analyst of a number one team who is willing to be negative and is holding Caleb to a very high standard. And by and large, we should too. Like, I think Caleb Williams can win MVP in a Bears uniform. Like, I think Caleb Williams can win a Super Bowl in a Bears uniform. And I don't think Caleb Williams is particularly close to being the league MVP, nor do I think the Bears are particularly close to being a Super Bowl champion. So, like, until he gets to that level, we should grade him harshly. Like, I don't want to grade him like Mitch Trubisky against Tampa or Justin Fields against Miami. You know, like I still want to hold Caleb to like the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert strategy because I think that's where his talent is. And so, you know, I have no problem with, hey, that was a 12-yard completion. It should have been 30 if it was a better ball. So I have no problem with that analysis because I don't want to lower my standards for Caleb Williams yet.
No, I think it's fair. And I feel like we're not talking about the NFC playoffs here. We're talking about them trying to win one score games. And yeah, there are a couple throws that I'm sure he would like back. But the good news is the plays were so good that there were multiple options to get yards and therefore points. And that's how I kind of felt about it.
Yeah, but I mean, but yeah, but like the missed, the 2-point conversion, Aikman did a great job on the replay of showing that the running back was wide open in the flat. Caleb didn't see him.
Right.
Like maybe he was blocked by Darnell Wright, but like he did not make the throw. And they did not convert the 2-point conversion. And that's on Caleb. And that's okay. Like that is objectively what happened. And it's true. And again, we who watch every play can like, and now obviously Aikman watched every play, but like we can look at a box score and be like, all right, 250 yards and a win, not bad. And wow, if they would not have taken the Adunze touchdown off the board, and if Zacchaeus would have caught the ball, it would have been at least an extra touchdown for Caleb, if not two, and at least an extra 50 to 70 yards for Caleb, if not 100, right? Because like, literally Zacchaeus could have taken that ball 97 yards to the house. We don't know. So like, we were two plays away from Caleb having a superstar game. And on the other side of it, you know, he was a little inconsistent. But they won. Like, what I said on TV after that game on Tuesday was, like, I thought it was a great Ben Johnson game. I thought it was a fine Caleb game. But also, guys, like, it was almost like a playoff game. Like, the Commanders are a wild card team. The Bears are trying to be a wild card team. The Bears now have the tiebreaker over the Commanders. Vegas has the Bears at, like, a little bit more than 2-1 to make the playoffs. They would have been closer to 4-1 to make the playoffs if they would have lost that game. Like, if you're 2-3 and you got three takeaways in that game and you were coming out of the bye and you lose a game where you're +3 in the turnover differential, that would have been a devastating loss. But instead, they figured out a way to win the game. Like, so did Caleb arrive? Are they a playoff team? What's with the narrative? Like, I'm interested in that too. I talk about it every day on the show, but like, the truth is that like, they just needed to win. Like they just needed to like they needed to win that game. And now they need to win the game against the Saints so that they have a little bit of breathing room when they play Lamar Jackson coming off a bye and the Baltimore Ravens. Like you can the Bears legitimately can be 6-3 a month from now if they hold serve and beat the Saints, Giants, and Bengals and lose to the Ravens. And if they're 6-3, and the running game has arrived, and Caleb Williams is taking that incremental progress that Marshall's talking about, like, they'll be even money or better to make the playoffs. And, like, this season can get really exciting really fast. So I'm on Twitter like you guys are. I'm watching the game. I'm living and dying with it. I get caught up in all of that stuff too. But, like, I don't want to miss the forest through the trees here. Like, that was a huge win for the Bears, like, period. And then everything else is secondary.
Agreed. Danny, thanks again for joining us, and thanks for being there.
We appreciate you, Danny. I'll try to be here next week.
You're going to be here. When are we going to get Grody here? Like, doesn't Grody come on after me for a Bears report?
No, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, because this is the Caleb day. Like, Wednesday and Thursday, Grody is typically at Hallis.
It would take him having a Monday night football game.
Doesn't he give you a Bears report at like 1:25?
Not today, no, because like they're not talking until later, so nothing was going to change between like then and now. If something had changed,
let's four box it.
Like, said, like, let's four box. You really are in TV mode. I love it.
Yeah, man. Like I'm in New York. You guys are in Chicago. Grody's in Lake Forest. Robbie could be on the moon and we could all be on the show together.
Like, Ray Diaz says we can do this and we will work on doing this.
Yeah, let's figure it out. I mean, I take suggestions.
I'm just saying one question. Can Grody show up for one question? Like, can, like, Like, I talked to you guys from 1 to 115. Grody shows up from 115, says something dumb. He's gone by 116, and then it's back to us. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't need to be here the whole time, but just, like, I like to make fun of him a little.
You've been hanging out with too many television producers, but I like it.
No, that's good producing.
I'm an idea man.
If FS1's Danny Parkins wants it, we're going to do it. We're going to make it happen.
That's right.
And I'm going to the moon.
Right. Yeah, how are you going to send Robbie to the moon?
I assume that's in the score budget. Right? That won't be a problem.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah.
We got free food yesterday. That had to help us out somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, I mean, listen, that is the thing about TV that is no different than radio. When there is free food around here, everyone's in a much better mood.
Hey.
A much, much better mood. But if you buy lunch for a radio show, because I know, like, Layla with her deep pockets, I know she's buying lunches all the time. But, like, you got to buy for Marshall, Ray, and Robbie. If you want to buy for a TV show, good Lord. I wanted to get smoothies for everyone. It was like $250. It was insane.
It's New York pricing for you.
Good thing you're made of money. And
it's New York pricing, and it's that there are, like, 23 people that need to be employed to put on one of these things. It's crazy.
It is indeed. But, Danny, we appreciate the time, and we'll get Robbie to the moon and let you know how it goes.
Thanks, Danny.
All right. See you guys.
Seemed very anticlimactic, the whole getting to the moon thing.
We'll figure it out, okay. Right?
Yeah.
They did it on, those Apollo missions with, like, a lot more work than it takes now.
True.
Yeah, that required a lot of...
If you believe in that sort of thing. I'm joking. I'm from Huntsville, Alabama, the home of Space Camp. Don't.
I wanted to go to Space Camp.
Planting a flag, and it has a Giddy jersey on it. On the moon.
How would your main team feel about that?
How would Cade feel about that?
Don't tell them, okay? Keep it between us.
We got to figure this out. We got to do a better job of balancing this.
Next week.
Snitching would be putting the Giddy flag on the moon. You'd be snitching on yourself at that point.
Self-snitch.
Let's get back to what Jed Hoyer had to say. We need to clear up at least part of the discussion surrounding Shota Imanaga's possible free agency. So I'd like to do that, at least give you the information I have, and then get more into what just some of the finer points were of the discussion. I say we open up the phone lines if people want to call too, because I know we missed some people. So 312-644-6767. That's next on Raheemy Harris and Grody on the Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.